guy. I'm a Bible guy. My main thing is I love to read the Word of God. I mean, I don't have a lot of gifts, and I don't have a lot of talents, but I do love the Word of God. And when I first got saved, I'll tell you my Gideon story as you're turning to Jeremiah chapter 12. Here's my Gideon story. When I first got saved, and he could probably tell you what it is, but God blessed me, and I kind of figured out that God is a Tennessee fan. Don't argue with me, it's true. God gave me an orange Gideon Bible. An orange Gideon Bible. I don't know who that's for, but it was for me. It's orange and white, by the way. Tennessee orange, Tennessee white. And I got this Bible when I first got saved, and I read the covers off of it because I just got saved. This is Jeremiah chapter 12, by the way. Jeremiah chapter 12. And I was wearing the covers off of it, and I was so proud of this little orange and white Tennessee Bible. And had it in my pocket. I'd whip it out and read it during my downtime, my work, and lunch hour, and I was reading. I bet I read the New Testament like 25 times in the first 6 months of me being saved. Not because I'm bragging. It's just I couldn't believe it. I would shout at my work. I'd go, "I can't believe this is in here!" And I meant like the answers to life, right? Everything was in there. And then one day I was going up the thing, and I had this in my hand, my little orange and white Tennessee Bible. I had it in my hand. I was looking at it, and a friend of mine, Jason, pulls up beside me and goes, "Man, is that an orange and white Bible?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Can I have it?" "No." It's a Christian way to answer. "No way." He goes, "I'm a big Tennessee fan." "Me too. Can I have the Bible?" "No." I took a couple steps. I wasn't saved long, but I felt to God said, "Give him your orange and white Bible." And I'm like, "God, I'm not a mature Christian yet. I've got all the pages right where I want them and how they fit. I'm really weird like that." And I turned around and I said, "Jason." He goes, "Yeah. Do you want it?" And he yanked it out of my hand, drove off. I still remember. I didn't know they had millions of them more. But man, I see that thing going, right? About 10 years later, I was sitting in a waiting room at a hospital. Maybe not even that long, probably about 7 years. I was waiting in a waiting room at a dentist's office for one of our kids. And Jason come in, and he signed in. I said, "I recognize that guy." He signed in, and he goes, he turned around, he looked at me, he goes, "Kevin Sheldon." I was like, "Yeah, man." He comes running over. He said, "Dude, I got saved." I went, "Praise God." He goes, I'm working with the youth at my church. "Man, I didn't think I'd ever see you again. Man, this is amazing. You're not going to believe this." Starts reaching his back pocket. Pulls out that orange and white Tennessee Bible, just deteriorated. "I read every bit of this." I said, "Man, God, you're pretty cool." I should have said, "Can I have that?" That's my Gideon story. That's my Gideon story. The Bible is powerful. It's powerful. And it's going to go right in with our message today. I want you to know, I think I've had this conversation with Charlie a couple of times recently about the Bible. I'm going to read this first verse. And we're only going to do five verses. So it don't take me no time to preach five verses. It's not going to be. Some of y'all look skeptical. Jeremiah 12:1, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments." Is that what y'all are reading? Y'all see that? "Wherefore does the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously?" I had this conversation with Charlie about the Bible a couple different times recently. He probably doesn't remember it. He maybe does. But we talk about some things. If the Bible was not true, if the Bible was not God's Word, if the Holy Spirit did not move upon men and influence them to write the Word of God, some things would never be written. It's embarrassing. Some things are embarrassing. Some things show weakness. Some things show failure. If I was writing a book about a God who saved me for eternity, who defied death, hell, and the grave, it would be all MVP stuff. The prophet got up, preached the greatest messages. People were saved and delivered. He was right and rode off on a horse and was awesome. Something like that. You wouldn't get entries like this. And you wouldn't be able to see yourself in the Word of God. The Bible says the enemy, your adversary, has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? That's what the devil's come to do. God told me at the very beginning of this message to tell you this morning. I want you to understand, everything in this Bible is written by God. It's delivered by God. And guess what? It applies to your life. If you're living against the Word of God, you're living against God. He wanted me to tell you before we went any further, you need to understand this. Get in this book and examine your life. Hold your life up against this book and to see if it's off. If it is, change to the book. And your life will get better. Because that thief who's come to steal, kill, and destroy, God has come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. I don't care how the devil starts you. I don't care how he begins you in a life for him. His main goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what this book is about. It's about a God who defies death, hell, and the grave and rescues your life and makes you better. Jeremiah was a prophet. Matter of fact, the Bible says, I knew you before I placed you in the womb. You're a prophet. God made him to specs. And Jeremiah in this place makes a good prayer. You ever made a good prayer, or at least a good start of one? Oh, God. Y'all be real, man. I'm going to be real with you this morning. I always start my prayers with a preface, maybe to get favor with God sometimes. I know y'all don't because you're spiritual. Amen? He started it well. He said, God, when I come before you and I talk to you and everything that's going on in my life, you deal justly with me. God, me and you, we're good. You're treating me fair. But, golly, sometimes I wish we'd just be quiet, don't you? Jeremiah says, but I would like to talk to you about some of your other judgments. How graceful God is. Some of y'all need to say, thank God he's graceful, because we say and do dumb stuff sometimes. Hey, God, I kind of like how you're doing me, and I want to tell you that I'm okay with that. Does it matter? On the other end, God, let me talk to you about some other people. Have you ever wanted to talk to God about some other people? We'll have altar call right now if you say no. I've wanted to talk to God about some other people. My wife, my friends, my church members, my fellow Christians, the world, oh, especially the world. The Christians, we are so good at talking about the world, right? The world is so wicked. Man, God, do something about them. Or just, Lord, come get us. I want the Lord to come get us as much as anybody, but I still got lost loved ones. If the Lord comes back, it's over for them. And God was merciful and graceful to me to wait on me. Amen? I'm sitting here going, God, don't come too soon. Come when you want to come. It's your, you know, we want your kingdom to come. But God, while you're waiting, while you're deliberating, while you're building, while you're making mansions, while you're controlling, God put me where you want me to do the best work for you that more people get saved. And God, while I'm working for you and while I'm serving you, I've got some people that I want you to save. They don't seem to be hearing me. They don't seem they want to hear from me. But God, while I'm telling somebody else's brother, sister, husband, mom, dad, while I'm telling them about God, will you send somebody to my loved ones to tell them that you love them still and you still want to save them? He said, man, there's some wicked people, Lord. And I don't know what you're doing with them. They're prospering. Look at this. I want y'all to get this. Thou hast planted them. Verse 2. Read it with me. Thou hast planted them. Yea, they have taken root. They grow. Yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near unto their mouth, and their heart is far from the reins. Listen, you know what he's saying? He goes, they talk a good game, but they cuss me out in the parking lot. Huh? They talk a good game, Lord, when they're in the church. But outside of the church, they're mean. They curse. They drink. They sleep around. God, they're doing that stuff. But then you're prospering them. God, you planted them. Huh? God, you planted them. You let them grow roots and they're producing fruit. God, they're doing pretty good. And God spoke to me when I read that. And you know what he said? I did the same to you. What? I wish we had some non-spiritual folk here that got saved. Not because you were in a Christian home. Not because you done it all right. Not because you prayed all the time. Not because you read the Bible. Not because you didn't drink, chew, smoke, or hang out with people who do. Amen? You got saved by the grace of God. He hunted you down in the miry pits of this world and drug you out. Amen? No. I'm being honest. Did God ever bless you before you got saved? I think it says it like this in the Bible. It says, it rains on the just and the unjust. Say amen. But guess what it also does? It sunshines on the just and the unjust. Amen? I'm going to help some families today. Listen, you've been praying for somebody, and it seems like the devil comes along and blesses him, but sometimes it's God. He blesses them and blesses them. And guess what? They got that job, and they got that car, and they got that house, and they got that kid, and they got that good marriage, and their kids are acting better than your kids, and they're not even saved. I wish I would say amen every once in a while. I wish every once in a while you'd go, man, that's good stuff. Because sometimes, man, I've been serving God. I've been working. I can run a list on God of all the things I've been doing. And I can look at somebody who's living as wild as a buck. And their kid will pull their chair out for you and say, sit down, ma'am. God bless you. And my kids over there are like, nah. 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 Whatever. Hope you didn't fall. I didn't mean him. Stop looking at him. Don't look at him. It was a hypothetical. Some of y'all are going, not so much. And you're sitting, amen. And you're sitting there and you're thinking, man, they're getting blessed. But God's a good setup God. God's a setup God. God loves your kids, those loved ones, those people that you're so worried about. He loves them more than you do. He knows how to set somebody up. He knows how to give them everything they need and how to take it away and add it for they get to get their heart in the right place. Some of you mamas and daddies in here know you might have three kids, you might have two kids, and praise God, one kid takes direction better than the other kid. One takes discipline different than the other kid. One kid, you got to encourage them. One kid, you got to wear them out. Amen? And that's it. God knows He formed you and made you in the womb. He made you. So He knows what it takes. He knows how to build you up. And He knows how to bring you down. Some people have to see it all, feel it all, touch it all, taste it all, and then find out, you know what? I've got it all, but this still doesn't fulfill. Some of y'all think, man, that person out there who's living like the world and doing everything, they're never going to get saved. They're closer to getting saved than sometimes the people who come to church every Sunday and Wednesday. some of them are so close to God, they won't ever get the real thing. God's good at what he does. Boy, and he's a faithful God. He will set them up. But let's listen to Jeremiah's prayer to God. I love this. He's got a people problem. And we all have people problems sometimes. Watch this. Thou hast planted them. Verse 3. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Oh, it gets real right here. Pull them out like sheep for slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. That's a good Christian prayer. You're the minister. You're the prophet. You're the man who's got the answers. You're the woman who's got the answers. You're the one who knows Jesus. And you're so upset with them that you have went to the place. God, shoot them with a hot bolt of lightning. Hit them with the fire, Lord. Get rid of them. Slaughter them. Whew. Man, I'm going to be honest with you. I wish y'all wasn't so spiritual. On Sunday, I wish you could just be real. How many times have you prayed that God would just get rid of somebody? God, get rid of them. I'm tired of dealing with them. I'm tired of messing with them. God, and I know you must be tired of them. Did you hear how he started? God, you know me. You know my heart. God, slaughter them. That's in there. That's in there. Listen to verse 4. This gets good because God showed me something in it. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither? For the wickedness of them that dwell therein, the beasts are consumed and the birds, because he said, he shall not see our last end. What he said right there goes, man, these people are living in such a way, they said, we don't care because God will never judge us. We'll die way before God comes. Amen? We will live this way and we'll live any way we want to and it won't matter. Whoever else has to pay for it, that's fine. God, we're fine. And man, he's sitting there going, man, they are ruining everything. But you know what God said? He showed me this. He said, it's not them. He talked about the field and the cattle and the world. The world's a bad place because of sinners. I hate to tell you, that's really not true. Sinners do what sinners do. A sinner can't get no better. A sinner can't do right. I hate to tell you that, they can't. Oh, y'all don't believe me. Well, let me read you a verse then. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who? That's what I thought. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. It's not humble to say, God, kill them. And pray. I'll guarantee you the least amount of things done by Christian is prayer. It's the hardest thing to do. As a Christian, you will get distracted more trying to pray than anything else you do as a Christian. Just try it. I double dog dare you to put an app on your phone that gives you a timer. You probably already got that, sorry. Go ahead and just set a timer for 10 minutes. And go pray for 10 minutes every day for 7 days. And I guarantee you, everything will come against you in those 7 days. The phone will ring. Somebody will come in. Somebody will talk to you. Somebody, what's going on? What are you doing? Hey, where are you going? Hey, you want to eat? Are you hungry? Knock on the door. Hey, man, do this. Phone ring, text message, Facebook alerts, everything else. Oh. And you know what? You'll find out real quick. You know why the devil doesn't want you to pray? Because that's where your help comes from. If your help comes from God, the last person he wants you to do is talk to God. He would rather you talk to anybody else but God. Some of y'all need to start doing that anyway. Set you a timer for about 7 to 10 minutes. Say, I'm going to pray. And if you come in there and bother me, I'm going to grab you in a headlock and I'm going to start praying for you. If you come in there and do it. Some of y'all need to grab your kids in a headlock and pray for them. Some of y'all, I'm going to tell the law and you tell my kid in a headlock. It'd do them some good. And pray over them. Man, preacher. And seek my face. What? Can I preach on that for a little bit? Would y'all mind? And seek my face. You know what the problem with is most Christians today? We're seeking what's in God's hand, not His face. We're wanting God to do something. We want Him to reach into His big pocket and bless us. We want Him to get the key out and open the door and do this. God bless us. God open the door. God do this. God help me. We tell God we got an order list like Walmart. You call down there and then you write down there and pick it up. God, oh, can you give me this? Can you give me that? Can you do this? Can you do that? Can you bless me? And God's sitting there going, why are you always seeking what's in my hand and you're never looking for a relationship? You're always looking for me to do some miraculous thing or to fix some mess you made, but you never sit down with me and say, God, can you just please talk to me? What's on your heart? What do you want out of my life more than me just eating, sleeping, making money, and dying? God, what else do you want from me? Because you might be surprised that God might say, get up and go, and He should say, go where? Just go. Further instructions will be given after you start going. That's scary, ain't it? But that's the most amazing stuff you'll ever do in your life. When God says go, and you forsake all the common sense of it and just go. Quit seeking God's hand and seek His face. Find out who He is, and you'll find out you got a bigger God than somebody who blesses or takes care of messes. You'll have somebody, man, that's bigger and better and more amazing than you would ever imagine. You got a Father. God, I wish y'all let me preach this morning. You could have a Father that when you're hurting in your worst places, that you could crawl up in His lap and just melt in Him and everything disappears because He's got grace and mercy for you and He can speak life into you when the world is speaking death. I've done it many a times. I have done it so many times. When I feel like giving up and quitting and throwing in the towel and not doing anymore, I close the door, I crawl up in His lap, and I say, hey, Dad, I don't want money, I don't want a position, I don't want a title, I don't want you to fix anything. Will you just comfort me? He says, I was waiting for you to come. I was waiting for you to get here. Because you shook my face, you'll get what's in my hand. If you seek your parents' face in relationship, they will blow you away with what they'll give you. Amen, preacher, that's good preaching. Then I will, listen to this, and turn from their wicked, whose? Man, we're so worried about the world's sin, and we like condone our own sin. As long as our sin is not as bad as their sin, right? We just keep living our wicked ways. If we'll turn from them, that's us. Then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. The reason the land's doing so bad and the animals are not prospering and the job ain't doing the way it's supposed to be, it's not because sinners, it's because the church has died. The church has just quit. Quit what? Being the church. The world has took over where the church used to be. Amen? You just go down to the hospital, go to Erlanger, Memorial, all them. You know what those were? Those are hospitals started by who? Churches. Not by individuals, not by corporations, not definitely not by the government. They were made by people who believed and said, you know what? We can heal people. We can feed people. We can take care of people. And you know what the church does today? We can think about it. We'll get a committee together and discuss it. Whew. Talk to me after church about that. Verse 5. If thou hast... Now this is God... Okay, let me give you this. Now this is God answering. Ouch. Go ahead and pray all you want, but please stick around for the answer from God, okay? I mean, wear them out. Pour it out. As long as you're talking to Him, it's a good thing. Pour it out, pour it out, pour it out, pour it out. But don't run off before you get the answer. Because sometimes God will mess you up. I've never preached this verse. I've never preached this chapter for a reason. I didn't understand it. Every time I read it, I said, that don't make sense. I can't preach that. It's above my pay scale. Amen? Okay, it's above my learning, okay? But here, watch this. I got it finally. Thank God, right? If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? The title of this message, why you got this on your thing, is the horsemen are coming. That's the title of this message. The horsemen are coming. You know what he's saying? Jeremiah was complaining. He was upset about his people issues, whatever they were and whatever yours are. You got to fill in that blank. I can't for you. I don't know what they are. You hide them too well. Amen? Do y'all know God's a chain breaker? He's a chain breaker. How do you know? I can't sing. He's a chain breaker. He's a way maker, right? Yeah, he's only a chain breaker and a way maker if you'll bring the chains out and put them in front of him. If you keep hiding the chains from him, he can't break them. Amen? So guess what? God, he exposed the chain to God. He said, hey, God, I got a people issue, and they're wicked, and they're treacherous, and you're blessing them. And you know what he said? He said, y'all, forget everything else I preached. Y'all better get this part right here. This is going to help you for the rest of your life if you get this. Okay? Guess what he said? He said, if the footmen weary you, let me break this down. In a battle, in this time, the armies would send out their footmen first. These are your soldiers, and they would come out and they would fight hand to hand, face to face, right? And then after that was took care of, then they would send in the horsed soldier, the horsemen, the cavalry. They would ride in behind it because they knew the people on the ground could not contend with the horses. God, some of y'all are going to get mad when I say this. It's going to get worse. Man, I wish I had a fluffier message for you, but I don't. Amen? But you know what you were supposed to do? I hate, this is truth, and it's happened in my life, and it could happen in yours. Will happen in yours. He's going to send in the footmen. The footmen were not there to kill you or destroy you. They're there to strengthen you and make you better. Amen? Oh, I'm preaching. Y'all just don't know it. Y'all better let this sink in. The footmen are there to come, and you're on an equal footing with them. You're on an equal level. So guess what? Your mistakes, your errors, your successes, everything's in the mix. You're supposed to learn from that and get over it. When you got a bad attitude as a Christian and somebody comes along and you say stuff like this, man, I'm too blessed to be distressed. God is good, highly favored. When you run out of bumper sticker material, amen, and somebody grinds your gears to a powder. Does anybody in here have somebody who grinds their gears to a powder? Thank you. I've got a couple who you're just... And guess what? Guess what they'll do? They'll bring that, huh? They'll bring that you out of you. That dude you got, that lady, that person you got hid, that you don't let nobody, you know what I mean? Only your wife knows about them. Only your husband knows about them. And then out in public, oh, yeah, I'm blessed and highly favored. Let me tell you my favorite scripture. But then somebody starts grinding your gears, and you're like, I'll just slap the taste out of your mouth. You keep talking. Oh, I'm praying for you. Huh? Amen? Right? That's where you get, listen, that's where you're supposed to learn from those people who do those things. You know what you're supposed to do? All right. I don't get agitated because God will keep sending those people like one foot soldier after another foot soldier. When they leave, you're like, thank God they're gone. Somebody walks in who is twice as annoying as they were, and you'd pray for that person to come back. Gosh, Tammy, come back to work. Lucille's 10 times worse than you are. God said, I want you to beat this. I want you to learn how to really pray. I want you to learn how to really minister. I want you to really work. I want you to really learn how to forgive. I want you to learn how to get over this. Because guess what? The horses are coming. You think the people issues are bad? Do you think somebody's treating you wrong for this or that? Guess what? The horsemen are coming. Cancer is coming. Depression is coming. Anxiety is coming. Death is coming. Your parents will pass away. It's coming. Your kids will get sick. It's coming. And if you're still petty, you won't be able to deal with the stuff that's coming. Guess what? God sees you different than you see yourself. God said, I formed you in the womb. Some of y'all are right now going, I can't fight a horse. I can't run with them. They bring horses into big crowds because for every one horse, you can almost guarantee or lock up almost 1,000 people. You can quarantine hundreds and thousands of people with just a few horses. But God thinks more of you than you think of yourself. You're like, God, these people are wearing you out. No, I got bigger plans for you. I'm going to have you running with the horses. I can't even run with this joker. I can't even run with them. But guess what? I'm going to keep sending the foot soldiers until you get better. And He will. Amen? And He will. You'll find yourself praying and ministering to people that used to say stuff like, God, kill them! God, destroy them! Then all of a sudden, when you reach that maturity level, guess what? The horses will run in on your life. And you know what you'll be doing? You'll be like old Elijah. You'll be running with the horses. I can't believe it. I'm actually contending with things that I never thought I could contend with. Do you know why? Because God wants you to contend with the spiritual things. In the physical world, you can't run with a horse. You're not as big as a horse. You're not as strong as a horse. But guess what? In the spirit world, you'll be able to stand. You'll be able to run. You'll be able to control. Why? Because guess what? God will prepare you. Some of y'all need to learn how to let God prepare you. Some of you need to take an inventory right now of the people in your life and the things in your life that are bothering you the most. And you got to say, what is God trying to change about me? What is God trying to get out of me where I can get over this people issue, this pettiness, where I can get on with serving God in the way He wants me to serve? Let's all stand as they come get a song.